All right, I think we're on here. Hello, Jeremy, and others listening at home. Okay, purpose of marriage. So I'm going to hit you guys with just some notes, kind of an overview, broad strokes, lay the biblical foundation, and then you guys will have a chance to discuss this with your mentor couples. So if one of you guys wants to take notes, I would encourage you guys to do that, and encourage you guys to even talk about some of this stuff outside of your mentor couple time, outside of this time. Sound good? All right. So let me pray, and then we'll jump in. Okay. God, thanks so much for these men and women. Thanks for their relationships. Thanks that they just all have hearts to follow you and walk with you first and foremost, and to really learn what it means to lay their life down for their spouse, their future spouse. Pray that you bless this time. Pray that you give us wisdom. Pray that you give us insight into our own lives and our own hearts. And just help us to have an understanding of what marriage is and just what a gift it is from you. Just thanks that you have gifted each one of these men and women with their future spouse. And I just pray that this is just a really enriching and beneficial time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, three purposes of marriage. You guys ready? Three primary purposes. There may be more out there, but these are the three primary we're going to talk about. Mutual completion. Some of you guys have already heard some of this stuff, by the way, so sorry if this is a little repeat, but Genesis 2, we'll pull some verses primarily from Genesis, Ephesians 5, we will camp out there a lot, but this is Genesis 2, starting in verse 21, or 20b, but for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So God has brought every creature by Adam, he names them. No suitable helper for Adam is found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." The man and his wife are both naked, and they felt no shame. Okay, so crazy, right? God creates man, all these animals, Adam names them, no suitable helper is found, and then God creates woman, and Adam's like, whoa, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And then it says they will become one flesh. So mutual completion, you guys will become one flesh. You guys literally, it's this mystery, but you guys literally become one. So there are things about your future spouse that make you a better person. They are strong in certain areas where you are weak. You are strong in areas that they are weak. You guys are a gift to one another. We see this in our marriage a lot. Megan and I are very different personality-wise. We have a lot of similarities, a lot of similar interests, but we're very different. I am very like slow-paced, more laid back. Megan is more like get up and go. Driven, you know, so we see this in our marriage, and sometimes it can be a source of conflict, as I'm sure you guys have probably experienced some of your differences come out, but for you guys to just realize, first and foremost, you guys are made to complete each other. You are a gift to complete each other, and you guys are literally becoming one flesh. So mutual completion. The second purpose is multiplying a godly legacy. They're all M's. This is a Christian thing, right? So it has to be some sort of like clever acronym, or all have the same letter. Mutual completion. That was the first one. Multiplying a godly legacy. Kids! Number two, having kids. So this is the different creation account in Genesis 1. God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." So God blesses them and says, "Be fruitful and multiply." And that's a charge you see there. That's also, you see that later in Scripture, that same kind of theme as be fruitful and multiply. Not just have lots of kids, but there's this picture of multiplying a godly legacy of little disciples, little Lewises and little Koenigs who are going to love Jesus and influence others literally you can be making the disciples, fulfilling the Great Commission by raising godly kids who are going to love the world and grow up to be influence of the world. A lot of times in the world, there's a message of, oh, kids are a burden. Kids are a nuisance. I'm not made for kids. Scripture teaches something different. Kids are a gift. There's a verse in Psalm 127. I think it's talking about kids being like your quiver is full of arrows. It's like they give you strength. They're a gift from the Lord. I could be merging two verses into one there. So those on tape can check with their Bibles. I apologize. Kids are a gift from God. And that is one of the reasons that God has made marriage, is to have that be the vessel for family and kids. The third one is to model God's love to the world. So you see in Genesis 1 that male and female are created in the image of God. And then marriage, you see throughout Scripture, is one of the pictures that God uses to describe his love for the church, and especially for describing Jesus' love for the church and his relationship there. It's marriage. So your guys' marriage is literally going to model God's love for the world, Christ's love for the world, to those around you. And for you guys, it's a picture. It's a picture of intimacy that God has with us, that Christ has with the church. So for you guys get to model Christ's love to one another, but also your marriage will be a model of Christ's love for the church, to people around you. It's really reflecting the image of God and God's heart for us, God's interaction with us. Okay, so that's part one. Pretty straightforward. Do you guys have any questions about that?